This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This week, Taryn and I dive into the second half of our epic Bali and Singapore adventure. We'll take you from the bustling streets of Singapore's Chinatown all the way up to one of the highest infinity pools in the world at the iconic Marina Bay Sands Hotel. We've got tips on navigating Singapore's amazing neighborhoods, bar hopping through some of the world's best cocktail lounges, and even an unexpected pool party at Sentosa Island. Just like last week's episode, we have a full blog post on our site with a breakdown of the points and amazing pictures of the trip. And if you want to catch all of the videos and behind the scenes, head over to our Instagram page's Singapore Highlights. We've got all the good stuff there, and links to everything will be in the show notes. Plus, stay tuned for my secret to avoiding jet lag. 50 hours of travel and zero jet lag on both sides. You don't want to miss this one.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Back-to-back weeks, I've got my lovely co-host and fiance with me, Taryn Gisbert, and we've got another incredible show for you all this week. So this is part two, because last week we talked all about our amazing 2 weeks in Bali, how we used points to fly there in business class, where we stayed, and some key tips for yourself to keep in mind for your next trip to Bali. If you missed that one, make sure to give it a listen.
Today, we'll go over the rest of our trip, which was 4 nights in Singapore and our business class adventure of lay flat beds and lounge hopping using points and miles to get back home.
And at the end, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my tip of how I avoided having jet lag both ways through all of this travel. So to pick up from where we left off last week, after our amazing time in Amed, we headed back to the airport in Bali, and we took our trip to Singapore. And so that was a 3-hour trip just to get to the airport. Thankfully, no major traffic or anything like that. When we got to the airport, there was actually a decent amount of lines to get through passport check and security. So that was a little bit chaotic. We stopped in the lounge there briefly, but we didn't actually get to stay too long because of how long it actually took us to get through passport check and security. And we got to the airport fairly early, but I think we only stayed maybe 30 minutes, but it was a pretty nice priority pass lounge. It wasn't, nothing exceptional, but it was pretty nice.
Yeah, I like that they had a really nice a drink bar because there's no alcohol in this bar. But they had like I got like a matcha iced tea, and they had all these different coffees and mocktails. So even if you couldn't get your cocktail, they at least had some really cool drinks. But yeah, it did the job.
Yeah, so our flight was pretty straightforward. It was a nonstop flight. We flew economy on an airline called Jetstar. It was kind of like an easy jet, very inexpensive airline, nothing super fancy. It was only $187 per person, and it was only a 2.5-hour flight. And so we landed. We paid $30 to get a taxi to the hotel. And so day one in Singapore, we checked into the Clan Hotel, which is a really interesting name, but it's actually tied to some of the the history of that part or area in Singapore. And so this is not one that we use points for. I was very specific with why I booked this. We booked this through American Airlines Advantage Hotels. So if you're not familiar, that's where you can get American Airlines loyalty points by basically booking a hotel through their system. And so we paid $932 for these two nights. I did receive three times because I used my Chase card, so I got 3x points on that. But the biggest reason why I booked that is because this hotel, by booking through American, earned 10,700 American Airlines loyalty points. And because we're Platinum Pro, I got another 2,000. So I basically got 12,000 American Airlines loyalty points just for the two-night stay here. And just kind of for a reference, you only need like 40,000 points to hit gold. So if you just did this basically three or four times, you could already be American Airlines elite status with their base level of gold. And one of the reasons why I was pushing to get these points is because we want to do the Globalist run, which I actually just mentioned in a quick hit a couple weeks ago. So that's the hotel we booked and why we didn't just use points or stay at a IHG or a Hyatt property. But Taryn, what did you think of this hotel and its location?
I love the hotel. I thought it was really cool. It was giving a lot of like the Kingsman vibes of, you know, like a secret agents and umbrellas. And if you go there, you'll get it. I know that sounds so strange, but I promise that they have this whole like protecting each other vibe and beautiful like teascapes and really beautiful views at this hotel. So I really liked it. And I love the location to Chinatown, which was like our first out and about walking around, which was, I mean, I don't know if you remember, I was overly, you were like, pick a place to eat. I could not pick a place. I think we walked like,
there's so many places, so many places.
But that was why I couldn't decide. I mean, they had hot pot, they had Japanese sushi, they had like Korean barbecue. You have like everything. Obviously, Chinatown was more Chinese food, although they did have a plethora of options. And frankly, each one smelled better than the next one. And I really struggled to make a decision that first night of where we were going to eat. I think you were getting a little hangry at that point.
Yeah, but we did find a really great place to eat. And actually, I know we originally were going to try to go to one of their hawkers, which is kind of like a giant food hall. But one of the things to point out, it was really hot in Singapore with kind of high humidity. And we walked into this food hall, which is very packed, very chaotic, and there's kind of like these individual food stands. Very inexpensive food, looked really good, but it was just really, really hot in there. And so we were like, we're gonna find somewhere that has AC because it was kind of miserable. But there's hawkers all over the place there, and so it's a kind of a unique food experience. But it was just really hot, and it wasn't open air like we thought it was gonna be. It was kind of an enclosed building, the one that we walked by.
Yeah, take some time to acclimate. That was the first day that we had gotten to Singapore. And I think that we were both really surprised at how much the humidity hits you, especially because, I mean, I know I was expecting Bali to be much more humid and hot. And Singapore is a lot closer to the weather we had at the same time in Virginia, which was also not great. So that was something I also learned at that time, you know, in August, the climate in Bali is cooler and much more temperate than in Virginia or Singapore. So I think that was our mistake. I think if we would have done the hawkers like towards the end of the trip, we would have already been more acclimated to that level of humidity after being there for so many days. But it was a lot with the walking and, you know, the kitchens. But it's really cool in the hawkers because everyone has different like specialties and all the different kinds of food. Sometimes they have food trucks that just make like one specialty. So hawkers are a really cool thing to experience when you're in Singapore. And you can get very, very, very affordable food that is authentic and delicious in Chinatown. So Singapore is an expensive place. We're going to touch on that later. But I just want to make sure that I clarify, like if you are going to go to Chinatown, there are plenty, and not just Chinatown, there are lots of places that have authentic, amazing food, and it is not breaking the bank. So everywhere is not super fancy high end in Singapore, but we are going to hit some of those too.
For sure. And one of the other places we stopped day one at night, we walked to from the hotel, was a bar called Off Track, and something that you and I have started doing over the last couple of years. And I think you actually try track with this a little bit more, is the list of the 50 world's 50 best bars. And they have it broken down also by 50 best in Asia, North America, and everything else. But we went to Off Track, which is on the list of world's 50 best bars. And that was one that you picked out, Taryn, that we went to and had some really great drinks there. It was a really cool vibe.
Yeah. What I was excited about, and as you said, we use this as a guide now when we go to a new place, because I like to pay attention to where are there some of the best bars in the world? Like, what are the cities? And I used to see Singapore. So when we were going, I was like, well, we're going to have to check out some of the bars on this list. And what I liked about Off Track is that it was a new addition. So they were really happy to be affiliated with 50 Best Bars. And you could feel that it was definitely somewhere that was newer. It had really cool, like, live EDM style music or house music. And I really love their milk tea punch. It tastes like a matcha milk tea drink with alcohol, but this beautiful light foam. And I can't really explain it. You have to just try it if you're in the area.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. And I before we move on to day two, I want to make a quick segue and point out, we actually planned everything that we did in Singapore like day one when we got to Singapore. And so we figured out where we wanted to go, what places had reservations open in different places. So like for Off Track, they actually had a reservation open that night. So we went ahead and grabbed that. And so I know from what I've heard from other travelers, they were like, hey, like make your reservations a couple weeks in advance, especially if it's a super high peak time frame. We didn't have that issue where we were seeing everything was completely booked everywhere. But one thing to know, we didn't like plan out everything we're going to do in Singapore like days or weeks in advance. We literally, like, as we were relaxing in the hotel, we're like, wait, where do we want to go? Kind of looking at some Instagram reels, looking at blogs, different things. And that's kind of how we figured out where we wanted to go and had some fun.
Well, actually, I mean, I had the like little saved list of places. And that was when I was like, actually, let's do a little cross-referencing session to see where are these and to plan our day, especially because we knew we would be staying in two different locations. And it's like, okay, does it make more sense to visit the things by Marina Bay Sands when we're staying there? And some of that. And another thing to keep in mind, I think they had different business days that were more typical for people to take off, and it wasn't what we anticipated. So we weren't able to go to some of the top bars for 50 best bars because they weren't open. I think it was it Monday, Tuesday? It was a very different schedule in terms of when most businesses are open. So I think it was like on Monday and Tuesday, the businesses we went to was very empty. And they even explained like, oh, businesses are usually closed on these days, but we kind of alternate. So it's definitely something that if you have somewhere you really want to go, especially a high-end, celebrity chef restaurant of the many in Marina Bay Sands, like you want to make sure that you have that ahead of time. But I was just shocked at how easy it was to get from one side of Singapore to the other with their transportation.
Yeah, their transportation system is great. We never used the buses, but I know the bus system seemed like it worked really well. We used the metro. So a block away from the Clan Hotel was a metro station. And if you didn't know this, we've done this many times, did this in Rome even. Google Maps and navigating the metro works really, really well. I wasn't sure because sometimes you have to go and get like a metro card or whatever it may be. This actually in Singapore was even easier. It just worked with Apple Pay on our phones. So basically every time we walked up to the turnstile, we just engaged our Apple Pay, our wallet, boom, it beeped us in and we walked in. And I actually looked all the times we used the metro back and forth, different stations for those 4 days. I think my total charge was like $4, maybe $5 total. And we used the metro pretty much every single day. So that was a really easy way to navigate. And so day two, after our breakfast at the hotel, we actually went to Gardens by the Bay in the daytime. And if you're not familiar, Gardens by the Bay are those giant man-made tree-like structures that you've seen anytime you've seen the pictures of Singapore. It's right in front of or behind technically the Marina Bay Sands Hotel, but a beautiful, beautiful area. It's a really cool, unique place, and it's completely free to just walk around there.
Yeah, and we wanted to go to Gardens by the Day daytime because we knew that we wanted to go back and see more of it when it was lit up at night, because we've heard that it's a completely different experience. So we wanted to plan it out and make sure we weren't just hitting the exact same place on the same day either, because it was not as close to where we were. So daytime, hit the daytime, Garden by the Bay. It was beautiful. It was very hot. But once you're up at that elevated the skywalk that we did, it was a really nice breeze, and it was a really nice break from like the heat and humidity that we had like walking throughout the entire area. So I think that it was actually kind of a nice time to go up and enjoy and get to see the other perspective, because it's a totally different experience at night.
And one thing to know, so the skywalk that we were on, as well as there's a separate observatory and there's some other areas like garden pavilions and things, you do have to pay to enter those. But just walking around and taking pictures and seeing the Gardens by the Bay, the general area, is completely free. You can just walk off the metro or taxi or whatever it may be and just walk around and take beautiful pictures. But yes, we wanted the elevated view to walk around, which we did and got some really cool pictures of as well. And then from there, we ended up going to Arab Street. We took a taxi to Arab Street and Haji Lane. We could have taken a metro, but it was really hot. And so we didn't really want to walk back to the metro station. We were closer to a taxi stand. So we got a taxi and enjoyed some air conditioning on our way to these more kind of eclectic spaces. Would you kind of call it that? That's the streets?
I think it was more of like a cultural melting point, and I really liked the Turkish influence in this area, because it had some really beautiful shops, some gorgeous rugs, some beautiful like stained glass lamps, and so you could feel a lot of the influence in the food and the art, and there is actually quite a lot of art in those streets, as well as shops, as well as tourist things. So I liked that experience. I thought it was fun. It was really different than what we had done the day before in Chinatown. So I felt that we got to experience a totally different part of Singapore, which is kind of the point, I think, when we travel. So I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was a really cool area. There's a really cool Sultan Mosque there, a giant mosque, big gold dome structure that you can see just from walking around there. And so it was a nice area. And I know I'm a big fan of getting magnets and shirts anywhere we go. And I was able to get those trinkets there, which is really nice. And so we took the metro back and actually ate in Chinatown. And then in the evening, we walked, because this place was actually near Chinatown, was called Jigger and Pony, which was, I think it was like number 6 maybe on World's 50 Best Bars. It was a really kind of cool place. We went there, we had a later reservation there and had a few drinks.
Yeah, that was really nice. It was pretty. That's one of the bars that's been on the list a lot longer. So different than a new entry, they definitely knew what people go there for. But I liked the vibe, and that was the place that had the blankets, right?
Yeah, but it was like a little chilly in there, so they already had blankets ready to go for those that got a little cold.
Okay, bars and restaurants. Why are we sleeping on having blankets that you give and having a beautiful cold atmosphere? Because that was lovely. It was comforting, and I think we should do it more, and we should do it everywhere, not just in Singapore. End of rant.
So we left there and we still wanted to explore more of Singapore. It was nighttime, it was around 10 o'clock. And so we had heard about the Sentosa Sensory Experience, which Sentosa is like the separate island. It's not a country, but just like an island that away from Singapore that you can get to by monorail. So it's not far by any means. You have to take a boat or anything like that. But that's actually where their aquarium is, which is one of the largest and coolest in the world, apparently. There's the Universal Studios there. I mean, this is a huge property, but they have a sensory experience. And we wanted to get there, but we needed some caffeine. So we went and found espresso martinis, and we randomly ended up in this Teddy Bear Hotel, which is the Sofitel Singapore hotel. And I wouldn't have mentioned this other than the fact that there's like teddy bears everywhere in the lobby.
Life size, like human life, bigger than a person size teddy bear.
Yeah, it was kind of a random find. Great drinks. The guy actually turned back on the espresso machine and opened the bar just for us for these drinks, which was really cool. And so we ended up navigating our way to Sentosa. We had to take the train, and then we ended up taking a monorail. And we got there ready for this like light show experience because it says it's 24 hours. So it is. It's available 24 hours. However, the light show like ends at like 9 or something like that. And it was already 11 o'clock when we got there. And this place was an absolute ghost town. There was nobody. We were dancing in the streets and there was literally nobody around. All we heard was in the distance music. And when I say music, it sounded like DJ club type music. And we saw a flashing light high up. And so we decided, you know, there's literally nothing else out here. Maybe we should see if we can find out where this music's coming from.
Yeah, I was really glad to hear that because at first it was really cool that it was just us and all these lights. And we're like, oh, we're getting such cool content. And then it's like, okay, well, there's not even like a security guard. Like there is no one here. This is a little like, now what do we do? So I was really happy we heard that music and we found that amazing rooftop party and made some friends. And that was fun. I feel like that was the party we were looking for, but we were unable to do that because of when we got in is when the clubs would be open, right? So we weren't going to be like ready to do anything and until the days that the clubs were actually closed based on when we got to Singapore. So we didn't think we were going to get to like do that rooftop party. We thought we missed on that just based on timing at that point. So that was like a really cool find.
Yeah, it was probably the most random experience that we had because we also couldn't even figure out. It was the hardest thing to find out how to get into the building. We eventually found the building and then figuring out the entrance to it was way more difficult than it should seem like it should be. But the entrance to this building was like in a parking garage, but the parking garage didn't make it clear that it was for this building. It was a whole thing.
We earned it. We earned it when we got there.
We earned it. And it was a rooftop pool party with DJ. They were going hard and apparently they only had like 30, 45 minutes left before they closed down, but it was like the big finale. And it was one of the coolest things. The funny thing about it though is I was just thinking we'd take the monorail back to the hotel or back to the metro. Monorail shut down at 12 and it's now 12:30. So there's people trying to figure out how to get back home. I ended up going to the lobby, had them call a taxi for us, and we ended up getting back. But that was one thing. If you do go to Sentosa and you take the monorail and you want this really cool experience, just know the monorail actually shuts down and then you got to figure your way back to the mainland.
Absolutely. It's beautiful at night, but keep track of when your transportation will change. And at least if there is a car available, at least you never hit traffic in Singapore, which is, again, a very vast difference from where we were right before when we were in Bali, where the traffic was so bad. And then here you're seeing 5-lane roads where there's like 2 cars.
Yeah, it was great. And apparently there's a whole, like their tax to buy a vehicle is so extraordinarily large that's why very few people use or own a car, which is why their public transportation is so good, which works out for us as tourists.
Absolutely. It's one of the best public transport and cleanest that I think I've ever seen.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about 2 great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow Points and Miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your Points and Miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode.
Well, day 3, we checked into the Marina Bay Sands Hotel. And this is somewhere that I think is what most people imagine when they hear Singapore, even if they don't know that it's Marina Bay Sands. So it's like that big beautiful boat-looking building that is just magnificent. And it is home to amazing shopping and amazing foodie things, which obviously is one of my favorite things. So I've always wanted it, you know, to go to Singapore and go to Marina Bay Sands and go to the sky deck observation and do all of the things and eat all of the food, because this is definitely a foodie paradise.
I mean, this place, architectural wonder, gorgeous place. It's a monstrosity of a building. And then when you get close, you realize how big this thing really, really is. Like, pictures don't even do it justice. This was a bit of a splurge for us, I will say. There's no points play here. They have their own rewards program. You're not transferring points from Chase or Amex or anything like that. They're on their own other level. This place was about $1,000 a night. And so this was our largest expense of the trip. If you remember last episode, we said we spent $5,700 in total between all of our transportation and lodging. Well, this was almost half of that just to stay here for two nights. And so we got there, we checked in, our room wasn't ready yet. So we went to the infinity pool, the rooftop, and we were able to get lunch at Spago, which is a Wolfgang Puck restaurant, and had some amazing food there. I mean, all the food we had in general this entire trip was amazing. But I will say the food in the Marina Bay Sands property was incredible.
Yeah, the food was exceptional. And while there isn't a hack, to your point about them having their own program, I did register for that program. And if you are going to stay there, I highly recommend that, because any restaurants you're going to, you give them that like rewards number, and then you get basically dollars back. And when you check out, make sure that you ask. And that's what we did. And basically, you can redeem the amount of money that you got in rewards and have that taken off your bill, or at least off of the meals that are on your bill. So that it's a little hack. You're not going to probably get a tremendous amount, but I think at the end, we got an additional like $50 off of the total, just based on rewards we had accumulated through their program, buying things that we would have already purchased. So it was like a bonus $50. So always look at the reward program and always utilize it, you know, when you stay somewhere new.
Yeah, basically it saves you about 10%, or whatever meal you use at the rewards card, or if you do shopping as well in the expo, if you do want the Moschino or the Hermes bag or whatever it may be, all of those things count. And then you basically get 10%, towards points that, like you said, Taryn, we were able to get knocked off on the bill. We ended up going, I think probably one of our, of all the bars we went to on the 50 best bars list, we went to Native, which I think was probably the coolest of the bar experiences. And I'd say probably the most unique bar I think I've ever been to outside of maybe Paradiso, which was world's number one that we went to in Barcelona last year. What did you think of it?
I thought that it was super unique. Very different experience. I love that they do experiments. And if you go, ask for the tour of the top floor, because they ferment so many of their own spirits and wines, and they use a lot of things that would typically be waste in the kitchen because they have a restaurant too. So like carrot scraps and trimmings and things like that. And they will make these amazing concoctions and things. So it's like a zero waste, but it's also, let's experiment with flavors, especially the local flavors. So they've done some really cool things with very local ingredients, including rice. They had a whole rice menu of how are they incorporating rice into their spirits, or rice's spirits that are made from rice, and connecting it with like other local ingredients. So it was very, very unique and very special.
I loved it. It was great. They gave us a tour of their fermentation process and area. They had a nice explanation with everything. It was a really cool experience. And after we left there, we ended up going back, because that was actually in Chinatown. So we took the metro back there. We ended up going back to the Marina Bay Sands. And that's when we wanted to see the kind of famous Spectra Light and Water show. So the Marina Bay Sands overlooks a bay, a kind of a giant man-made bay, and there's a big light show at the bottom. And so we actually got advice from one of the individuals at the hotel that if we're going to see it, we actually should. The best viewing was at Louis Vuitton, which Louis Vuitton has, I guess, like a world famous building there.
Flagship. Yes, their flagship store.
Yeah, flagship store. Like, I mean, like it's almost like, well, Apple has its own store there too, but it's like its own individual flagship store, which
island.
Yeah, it's its own island, its own island in the bay. But there's a little pathway to get to there, and you can actually watch the light show there. The light show is really cool. It only lasts like 10, 15 minutes, and those shows run at 8 and 9 p.m. And then we had this amazing Japanese dinner at a place that Taryn found, Koma, which was in a really cool place, really cool aesthetic, and the food was incredible.
Oh, yeah, that was gorgeous. I loved that Wagyu sashimi that they had with, I think there was like truffle. It was amazing. I could have stayed there all night, honestly, and kept ordering off of that menu. So that was great. I really liked the show. I love that the light shows are free and that you have them. I think we got a little spoiled by our water shows because now we've seen both Dubai water show at the Burj Khalifa as well as at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. So not to take away from it, it had its own vibe and its own effects, but it's another totally different kind of take on a water show. But yeah, it is definitely better if you get another spot to you can watch it.
I will say one cool thing about the water show is that the Marina Bay Sands, the entire building lights up to the same colors as the light and water show at the same time, which that was kind of a unique thing, although they're behind each other. So you actually would have to be like looking forward, then turn your head around behind you to see that the building's lit up, but kind of a cool thing, a little different.
I was trying to record it and I was just basically like turning and going back and like, oh, wow, look at this. I can't capture this on one phone. What am I thinking? But yeah, it was really cool to experience because it was like mimicking the same colors and patterns all around you.
Yeah, it was awesome. And that was kind of our end of our third day. And so day four was our final day. And keep in mind, this is our final day of this very long almost 3-week trip, essentially. And so that day, we really just spent enjoying the rooftop infinity pool. Beautiful, gorgeous pool, second highest infinity pool in the world. Had lunch at Spago again and really just kind of enjoyed the day. We had good weather for the most part. There's a little thunderstorm that rolled in. That's when we had lunch. But overall, I mean, that infinity pool was nice and the view was absolutely incredible. It's really cool being that high up in an infinity pool.
Absolutely. And in case you want to have photos done, they have a professional photographer in all his gear, just literally going around taking the photos. They'll give you the QR code. And then if you like those pictures, you can get them at the end, which is nice because sometimes, you know, especially that high up, you're like, okay, I don't want to get my phone wet and I definitely don't want to drop it. So it's nice to have a little photography help. Again, if you want to spend the money on purchasing those shots, but those are some of the coolest shots that is really hard to replicate with that kind of a view, which was really special. And another shout out to the service there. We haven't really gotten onto that, but Singapore, I felt that the service really was excellent everywhere. And people were just so like hospitable and gracious. So everywhere that we went, not only was the food great, but the service was really top notch.
Yeah, I can't say enough. I mean, it was fantastic. We left, we basically went back to the room and then we went back out. So Taryn mentioned that we went to Gardens by the Bay during the day. Well, we went back there at nighttime because they also have their own light show that's well known. And those run at 7:45 and 8:45 and they're 15 minutes long. Now, if you think you can see one and then make it all the way to the Spectra Light and Water show, that would be at 8 or 9. It's impossible. You can't make it. It's too far of a hike. But it is a really cool thing. So you want to plan those on different nights. That was really cool. Again, the Gardens by the Bay, completely free to go into. So we got there and there were people kind of laying on the ground, looking up, ready to kind of take it all in. So it's a little, got a lot more crowded because everyone was there for the light show, but it was a really cool experience with the sound and the noise and the music. And it was really nice. It was a really awesome free thing to do.
Yeah. I love that there are so many free things to do in a place that is known for being expensive. And I have to say, I think that that was probably my favorite free show that we went to was the Gardens by the Bay at night. I thought that was really beautiful. The music tied to it. It was very emotional even, but it was beautiful.
And then our final dinner of the trip, while in Singapore, we went to this place that you, again, picked because, Taryn, you're the foodie. You knock it out of the park 10 out of 10 every time. Mott 32, that was Chinese food. But that was Chinese food on another level.
Yeah, I think Chinese food is ruined for me now. This place was so good. I'm drooling thinking about this. I'm not even kayfabe. I'm struggling to talk about it. I want to go back and just eat everything.
I understand. Well, that pretty much ended our trip. So this started our flight back home. And so this was actually very unique in our planning. We probably could have found something that would have taken a little bit less time to get back home. But I was wanting to use our miles strategically. We rack up a lot of American Airlines miles between the loyalty points we get just through like the shopping portal and the Advantage portal. But also, we've talked about this before, Taryn has money in the Basque Bank savings account that gets miles, and she gets like 10,000 American Airlines miles, not loyalty points, but miles every single month. So we acquire these miles. And so I really wanted to make sure we use those instead of just burning all of our Chase and Amex points. And so we decided that we were going to fly through Doha. So what we had to do is we knew that we were going to use American Airlines miles, Doha to JFK with a stopover in London Heathrow. So that was only 70,000 American Airlines points per person, and $320. And that was a little higher on the fees just because of London Heathrow, which we'll get to in a second, one of my least favorite airports. But that's why we're very unique in our planning here. So we ended up, one of our other concerns was, again, there was five flights to get back home. And so it was Singapore to Mumbai, to Doha, to Heathrow, to JFK, to Norfolk. And this was kind of the craziest thing. I was so worried. Taryn had a checked bag, and I was like, collecting, going through immigration to grab this bag in multiple places is not going to be fun. And when we got to Singapore for a Singapore Airlines flight to the airport, we asked if they would check it through, and they actually checked it through. And was it two bag tags? Because there were so many destinations they had to put on there.
It was two full bag tags that they had to put next to each other for all of the stops of where we were going. And I remember thinking, well, maybe I'll see this bag again. I'm going to try to trust Singapore Airlines in the process, because I've definitely never gambled with my belongings for not even close to this many flights at once, ever.
And keep in mind, this wasn't like all these flights were Singapore Airlines. These were all different airline providers. And our bag or her bag arrived at home with no issues. So that was a surprising piece, but was awesome. So getting into the travel back. So we stopped in Singapore Airlines lounge. That was amazing. Their business class lounge was very nice. We were there for a couple hours. One of the things I will say that we missed out on in Singapore is we wanted to see the Jewel. So the Jewel is the giant indoor waterfall. I'm sure you've heard of the world's largest indoor waterfall. That's attached to the airport. However, we didn't know that's actually kind of like a separate mall area. So we thought we would just go to the airport, check our bags, stop by the Jewel, take a look at it, then go to the lounge. Apparently the Jewel doesn't open till like 11 a.m. So we got to the, and our flight was at 7 a.m. So we got to the airport 3 hours before our flight, thinking we'll just stop, see the Jewel. That didn't happen. So kind of the only thing we missed out on, but we spent more time in the lounge doing that.
We were bummed though, because I mean, we missed it on the way in and said we will go early and we will just see it on the way out. So we did. I mean, we were there early to give ourselves enough time because it was something we really wanted to see. So one of the lessons we definitely learned in Singapore is just because one aspect of the attraction is open for 24 hours doesn't mean that the thing you want to see is also going to be available for 24 hours. So check the times, and do not assume that your layover is going to allow you to, you know, see the Jewel and all of these things, because it's a very big airport and apparently there's very different hours of when these things are available to see.
And so we flew Singapore to Doha. That would have been $1,400 cash per person. We spent $78 per person and 60,000 points. And that was a transfer from Chase to Air Canada, because Air Canada is a Star Alliance partner and Singapore Airlines is part of Star Alliance. Their business class product was phenomenal. They're very well known for their business class. It was great. We actually had a layover in Mumbai on the way there, and then we switched to Vistara Airlines. I will say, Mumbai, first time both of us had flown through there, probably an airport I'm going to plan to avoid if I can't help it in the future. And we also had two very different lounge experiences while we were there.
In addition to that, I feel like we were coming off of this high of this beautiful like flight and everything. And when we got there, there was someone with our names, like right off the gate, like not even outside of the gate, there was a man with a sign and he's like, oh, I'm going to take you, you know, to the next place in the lounge, directly to the lounge. And we had so much time in Mumbai that we didn't think we'd actually be able to even get into the lounge yet. And so we were like, this is great. But he ended up taking us to like this different security that opened just for us. And again, and another thing that you learn, and before we get into talking about Heathrow, I agree, probably not an airport that I would pick to do a layover again, because it was really confusing in regards to like what the process was when you had a connecting flight and layover. And yeah, that first lounge was, I mean, didn't you see they were actually like, I think they were closing it permanently right afterwards. Right. Didn't you see that?
Something like that. I saw, I think they were like supposed to close by a certain day. The place was falling apart basically. I mean, that's the best way to say it. It was a priority pass lounge specifically. It wasn't great. I mean, it was a place to have some free food and drinks, but it really was probably one of the lower end of lounges I think I've ever stayed at.
It's the only time I've ever seen them actually like block people off when they're changing the food. They literally were like, no one come in until we change all of the dishes. And then it was like kind of like a mob scene and when they like pick that rope up and let people back in. So very grateful that we had the lounge to go to. Don't get me wrong. I was very happy to have somewhere to go and have a snack and some drinks, but it was a bit of a rough lounge, especially compared to the next one, which had free massages and their own chocolatier.
Yeah, the next lounge. So our next flight. So first flight was Singapore Airlines. Next flight was Vistara Airlines, which is a Indian or the country of India's airline. And their lounge was great. I mean, the bartender service. You know, we ordered a drink at the bar. He's like, oh no, I'll bring it to you. Even though we were in like two rooms over. Like you said, we had free massages, foot massages for like 15 minutes. You could pay for, you know, upgraded massages. They had a whole spa area, showers, really, really nice lounge. Absolutely would go back to that one if we are ever back in that airport again.
Yes. Although they were very strict about the time frame in which they would let us in. And I also believe that I had heard people talking about priority pass, which they also had restrictions on as well, in terms of limiting. So this was a common theme of things we started to hear in other locations where they have a different allocation or rules for priority pass versus other people.
And so from there, we flew to Doha on Vistara Airlines, and their business class very much felt like if you were on a Delta flight in America or American Airlines flight business class. Good food, good service, nothing super special there. But when we got to Doha, we got to stay and relax in the Al Morjan Business Lounge, which is one of the nicest business class lounges in the world. And again, one of the benefits of being a platinum pro status with American is that gives us emerald status in the One World Alliance, which is the highest status. So we had access to this lounge because we are the highest level of status within One World. And this is probably the nicest lounge I think I've ever seen.
Absolutely same. Definitely the nicest lounge, the biggest lounge. And it's a lounge because we've been in Doha so many times. We've seen it. We've seen the sign, but we either didn't have the layover time, or I think we might not have been Emerald when we had been there earlier. So this is the first time we had access to this lounge. And after we were already traveling at least 20 hours at this point, so I needed it. I used their beautiful showers, which were just spacious and large and needed. They had nap areas. They had a full restaurant where you can order off the menu. They had the sushi stand. Like, I every time I turned around, there was like a new thing. And I was like, I cannot believe that this is a lounge.
They have a business center, conference room in the business center. They have a video gaming room. You like walk in, there's literally an Xbox Series X and a PlayStation 5 on two separate TVs that you can play in. And they had a separate restaurant that's more sandwiches and kind of smaller meals as well on the other side of the this lounge. This place was gargantuan. And we actually had the sleeping pods where we took naps. I mean, incredible, incredible place. If you ever have a chance, you have to stay in this lounge. It was fantastic.
Absolutely. I really hope to go back again. And I put Doha on my higher list of actual places that I like to, you know, do positioning flights or just layovers in general internationally.
Well, you'll get your wish because we'll be staying there overnight as we go back to the Maldives in a couple months. So we'll be back there and we'll be back in that lounge.
Yay, I can enjoy it more because I was so dead tired that I actually felt like I missed out a lot in that time because I really just needed like that nap and that food. So I didn't get to do as much in that shower. So I'm excited to go back and enjoy a little bit more champagne and just relaxing.
So we left Doha. We flew to JFK through London Heathrow, as we mentioned. So this was now on British Airways for these legs. That would have been $4,700 per person. And again, we only paid $320 and 70,000 points doing that through Heathrow. This was our best redemption of the entire trip between hotels and airlines at about 6.25 cents per point. So again, always want to get better than two. This one was 6x. So this was great. British Airways, as far as our flight specifically, they were phenomenal. They were both 7.5 hours each. The business class product, the design, the seating, all of that was great. However, Heathrow is a nightmare and I can't stand it for so many reasons, especially the security process. It is the worst. Maybe they just don't like me, but it is the worst.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I think at this point we had to like, you know, every time that we were doing these layovers in these locations, we have to go through security again, right? And that was, I think, the hard part is it's not TSA rules everywhere, especially not at Heathrow. They have additional rules, additional policies, and just like it is in other places as well, India was more focused on electronics. And, you know, Heathrow is like, no, we still have to get your liquids and they have to fit in this bag. So it's really like knowing what your expectations are of the airport. I'm not going to defend Heathrow anymore than that. But, you know, it was the British Airways the product, to your point, is always, you know what you're getting. And it's never a disappointment in regards to what you expect with their business class ticket, in my opinion.
And that's a good thing that you pointed out. One of the things I didn't like about Mumbai is I had to take every single electronic out of my bag. And they didn't care about liquids, but every single electronic. And I've got drone cameras. I've got all these different things. They had to take every single thing out, which made that not fun. But at Heathrow, they give you the little baggie. And unlike anywhere else we've ever been, any other airport, any country, US, doesn't matter. They are so strict about this. And because of the electronics I have, they still had to go through every single compartment in my bag, which just took so long that we ended up going to British Airways business class lounge, which was a beautiful lounge, but we only had like 20 minutes or so. We thought we only had 20 minutes to actually enjoy that lounge.
Yeah, we got really skimped, I think, on that experience because that was a gorgeous lounge and it took so long for them to literally go through every electronic that you have in your bag. So that was a really long one. But that lounge was gorgeous. They had all of the different kinds of champagne, obviously a very full breakfast. But at this point, I was on like my fourth breakfast and I was over it. So I was like, can we have lunch? That's the challenge when you're going the opposite direction, is it's just the same time on every plane.
For sure. This was really the only probably negative piece on our whole travel experience. This one flight, there was an issue with the plane. So we fully boarded the plane. You know, we're business class and we're boarding first. We're getting our cubbies situated and everything. There was an issue with the plane. They tried to repair it. So we're sitting on the plane for about 2 hours. And then they eventually say that they can't use this plane, but they have another one. So they bring us off. We have to walk through the airport because Heathrow's design is absolutely terrible. So we have to walk through the airport to another terminal, another gate, and ended up being in total about a 6 hour delay. And we had a positioning flight, right? So this flight from Heathrow was to JFK. We had a 5 or 6 hour layover in JFK because this was we had a position back from JFK home to Norfolk. Well, unfortunately, this delay was so long that I had to cancel our positioning flight, which was with American. We got a flight credit, which we already used for another flight. And I ended up booking a Delta flight, which was almost the same cost to get back home. Because it was a Delta flight, we ended up relaxing in the Delta Sky Club. So we got home about 5 or 6 hours later than we wanted to. But that really, that flight delay was kind of our only travel issue or blunder of the entire trip.
Yeah, I'd say the only other thing was the cumbersome timing of security going through the different countries because they just had different, you know, needs in each one. So I think that probably was the only actual blemish on a major blemish on our travel plans back. But it was a long how many hours was it?
It was a 6 hour delay, but that flight itself was seven.
No. We did the math on this because it was long. And
oh, to get home. Yeah. So it was, we did. Yeah. So from when we left Singapore, the hotel, to when we arrived at our door was 50 hours almost on the dot. So 50 hours of travel, which is crazy.
But business class problems, right? That was the other thing. Our delay happened and we were in business class. We had a glass of champagne. So I'm not going to complain. It definitely could have been worse in every aspect.
Business class problems. And that's actually a great segue to the last thing I want to mention. I mentioned at the beginning, I experienced really no jet lag either way. And I attribute it to two things that I did. So one, and Taryn actually got these, it's the no jet lag pill. You can find them on Amazon. We actually left ours at home. And when we were in San Francisco, we Instacarted it. They actually had it in like a grocery store. So we actually had those. So you take this pill basically every couple hours after you take off. So I think that helped. But second is there's an app called Time Shifter that's on iPhone, I know at least for sure. And Time Shifter, you plug in all of your flights. So I put in every single flight we had going and coming back. And it tells you exactly even 3 days before your flight starts and about 2 days after your trip ends. It tells you when to have caffeine, when to go to sleep, when to use melatonin, when to avoid daylight, when to get daylight. All these different things. And I didn't follow it to a T because it's kind of hard just, you know, if it's telling me to avoid to get daylight at 11 p.m. and it's time to go to bed, Taryn's asleep. So I didn't follow it to a T. However, by using those two things combined, I personally experienced pretty much no jet lag at all. Got home, we landed back at home around 8 o'clock at night, went to bed at 10 or whatever it may be, and was right back at it the next morning like nothing ever happened. So really had a positive experience. Can't highly recommend the strategy of using those two things. With Time Shifter, it is free for your first itinerary, and then it's either $10 every time you want to plan a trip or $24 for the year. So just something to keep in mind. And so, Taryn, before we wrap this one up, any final last minute thoughts you had about Singapore, this trip, or the entire trip as a whole?
As a whole, I mean, it was a beautiful trip. And Singapore and Bali, while there are so many things that are different, they still have a lot of things that, you know, were in common, like great service, great hospitality, beautiful things to see and do, fantastic food. So I think that it was a great trip. And towards the end, I wished that I had like more in the tank because there was just so many more things to do and see. But I think that we squeezed in a good amount of things. So I think we got a lot done.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. We had a great time. The coolest experience. This was my first time really back into kind of mainland Asia since being in Thailand. Incredible food overall. The generosity, the people, it was fantastic. I can't recommend both of these countries enough. So please, next time you get a chance, you'll want to plan your own trips to Bali and Singapore. Maybe do it all in the same trip as well, but you've got to get out there. It was fantastic.
Absolutely. And some reminders. If you enjoyed this episode today, be sure to follow us on all of the social media channels and sign up for our newsletter as well to get insider information. And don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.